Are we on?
Blog Talk Radio.
You gotta love this. Who wants the ring? Flashbulb sparkles.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners.
The new record, Michael Strahan. 22 and a half sacks. Breaks the bar held by Mark Gatto.
Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or woman. Put your name on it.
Santonio with a touchdown.
I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out.
Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
That's got to be one of those top 10 plays on SportsCenter YouTube.
Emmitt Smith has eclipsed Walter Payton as the NFL's all-time rushing leader. And somewhere, sweetness is smiling.
One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Touchdown, Giants, with 35 seconds to go, Manny the first. And the Giants, with the most improbable win, have won Super Bowl 42.
Control yourself. Tell them to stay calm. Let's keep our composure.
A lot of darn patience.
It's Skinner's time. You're never too old for Skinner.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Brunch. And this is a very special brunch here for you today. I'm Chris Malicki. I'm joined with my co-host, Joe Caputo, and we are broadcasting live from H4 TV. So this is a big step in The Brunch history. And, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Glad to be back and very excited for what should be a wild next month of NFL football.
Yeah, and we're very happy to be on H4 TV right now, and even more happy to be bringing you NFL Wild Card Weekend. And it's, as you see with the show, we are here to give you a case for both sides of each game of why each team is going to win, because coincidentally, we found out earlier on this week that Joe and I are on the complete opposite of both games. So it should be good. It should be a good show. And Joe, I guess we'll start with Arizona at Carolina. The game's going to kick off in just a few short hours. And you are on the Cardinals side and Ryan Lindley. So make a case right now for the Arizona Cardinals and why you think they can win a road playoff game with Lindley.
You put it in the light of Ryan Lindley on the road, and it sounds like pretty much Arizona has no hope, but you got to remember who they're playing. They're playing the 7-8-1 Carolina Panthers, who the only reason they're in the playoffs is because they won their final four games. And although everyone wants to jump on the Carolina bandwagon, at least in this first game, because of their hot December, you have to remember who they played in that December. Three of the games coming against their own division, who we know isn't exactly one of the best divisions in the NFL. And then one outside the division against Cleveland, who was in absolute disarray down the stretch. So I'm not on the Carolina train as of right now. And then going to the other side, I think, because, you know, Chris, we have been talking about all year long how Carolina, we don't like Arizona because they just seem to get all the breaks. The luck's going to turn around on them eventually. But
and it did. For this it did. Week, look at that.
It did, but for this week, I'm looking at it in a different light. I'm going to look at it in the Bruce Arians may be a god light. And I don't really care who his quarterback is in this game because I don't think the opponent is that good. And if you're going to give me the better coach and 6.5 points and probably the better defense, you know what? I'll take the points.
Wow, the Bruce Arians is a god light. That is an interesting way to
put it. I think he
might
be the second best coach in the NFL.
Well, you and I talk about it all the time. We talk about it in our own time, and I'm sure we'll talk about it now more so on the brunch. We talk about how, you know, obviously Bill Belichick, best coach in the NFL, who's comes after him? You know, it's really a toss-up at this point. You really don't know. And, I mean, is it Pete Carroll? Harbaugh's gone, so is it John Harbaugh? But then every time we think we know who it is, that guy winds up doing something stupid, or his team does something stupid and underperforms, and then we're back to square one with Belichick.
I'll tell you what, we got some bad coaches that we're going to see in action this weekend, starting, I think, in Detroit with Jim Caldwell.
We do have some bad coaches, and we have some questionable coaches, too. We can't give Jason Garrett or Riverboat Ron a pass just yet, but let me talk about Carolina for just a little bit. As we've seen in recent years, the NFL is probably the the one sport that more than all the other big four sports, if you get hot, you can win a title. And that shows up perfectly in this game, because Carolina is on one end of the spectrum. They won four straight after not having a win in 64 days. That includes their tie. They were 3-8-1. And all of a sudden, Cam Newton's getting a little healthier despite that car accident. Jonathan Stewart's running the ball, and they've kind of pushed D'Angelo Williams to the side. And now we have a Arizona team that is going the other direction. And they have struggled mightily from week 10 on, especially their defense. Their defense has not been that good. You know, I thought, and I'm sure I wasn't alone, that the Arizona secondary was going to be one of the best in the NFL, led by Patrick Peterson. He's been getting burned all year, and the run defense was really the run defense of the pass rush, all the blitzes Todd Bowles sent, was really what kept his team alive, but been allowing quite a few rushing yards in the past few weeks. The season has winded down. And, you know, this is a tough game, though, because at the same time, we can't just go out there and say that Arizona is a bad team and Carolina is a good team, because it's just simply not true. And how much
better would you say Carolina is than Arizona?
If we're talking on a neutral field with their current
and
current
that's another thing I
want
to get to. What's the Carolina home field advantage?
I would say the home field advantage for Carolina is probably. It's probably a 3 points or 2.5 points.
You think it's three? All right, I'm going to say it's a little lower. I'll give you the numbers real quick. Home, they're averaging 18 points a game, giving up 20. On the road, they're averaging 24 a game, giving up 27. So
okay,
it's pretty.
I can understand if you think it's a little lower, but at the same time, you also have to realize that Arizona really thrives off their home field advantage, and they're a
that
team
is
that's
true.
They do not play very well on the road. And, you know, I know I kind of set you up a little bit in the beginning with the whole Ryan Lindley on the road. I set you up to fail there. But that's something that you got to look at, you know. I understand that just because Ryan Lindley is a quarterback doesn't mean that Arizona can't win this game. But if you're really trying to pick here, are you going to pick Ryan Lindley on the road? And this Carolina defense, it's not great, but it has been playing better.
Well, look at it from this light. Ryan Lindley was on the road last week in San Francisco, and I have San Francisco as a slightly better team than Carolina right now in my power ratings. So, and Ryan Lindley, although he was pretty bad in that game, Arizona was still in the game with the ball at the end with a chance to win. So I can't see Carolina running away with this game, and you never know it. Arizona's been keeping these games close and then making that one defensive play, and does Cam Newton really convince you? You know, you saw him play last year in the at home in the NFC divisional round, and he threw two picks, and I think his team scored 10 points in that game.
Yeah, well, we will see if Cam Newton can win his first NFL playoff game. And with that being said, you know, the line is Carolina Carolina -6.5, excuse me, as you can probably tell, Joe is on the Cardinals, and I am on the Panthers. Now let's go to the night game, where we have an age-old rivalry. The Ravens are at the Steelers, and the big news in this game is Le'Veon Bell out of the game with a hyperextended knee. Bell has been incredible all year, and I can say that with the utmost certainty because he led me to a fantasy football championship. But realistically, I've seen Bell play so much because he was on my team, and I was able just how good he was at running the football. Joe, what does his absence mean to the Steelers in this game?
It's really bad, and I was on the Steelers -3 early in the week when I thought Bell was going to play. They were a little more optimistic beginning of the week. Now it seems like it's pretty much certain that he's going to be out. And obviously, I think he's probably maybe #3 in the NFL right now, or maybe even #2 running back in the NFL. I mean, he's really good. The only thing that alleviates my concern a bit about Pittsburgh is how bad the Baltimore secondary is. So you may not need the running game too much. I don't know, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, it's been a while since he's really put together one of those classic Ben Roethlisberger performances in a postseason game, but I think with the weapons he has this year, he could be primed for another run, and I've been saying it all year, or not all year, maybe the second half of the year, I've been saying how I think the Steelers are probably the biggest threat to New England in the AFC, and I think you're going to see whether or not that's true today. If they come out and they attack Baltimore through the air with success, I think New England's going to be sitting back watching that game, getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with you that Pittsburgh is a huge threat. But what you have to realize, I know they've got all those weapons. The conditions of this game, they're not going to be good. It's going to be a rainy game. That's what the weather forecast is calling for. And, you know, generally, if that happens, you want to run the ball. Maybe that means Pittsburgh can't take advantage of that patchwork Baltimore secondary. You know, I understand Ben Roethlisberger has had a phenomenal year. And, you know, he has the tools around him. Despite no Bell, he has Antonio Brown. He has Martavis Bryant. Wheaton can catch some passes. And Heath Miller is a safety blanket. They're all part of a great offense. But the problem is that it just might not be the perfect situation to take care of it. And, you know, this Baltimore team, they are a team, they just have that look of a team that can kind of turn it on in the playoffs a little. They really struggled towards the end of the year, but do you remember what they were doing at the end of the year the last time they won a Super Bowl?
Oh, I know. Believe me, I mean, I'm done going into the postseason sleeping on Baltimore.
It shows how the episode title has said that there's a great case for both sides in all of these games, and it's just very hard. It's very hard to really pick one way. The line here,
you know, it's
is,
funny.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's funny that early in the year I was the Baltimore guy and you were kind of a Pittsburgh guy, and we're on opposite sides in this game.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's one of those things where I don't know. It's hard for me to actually believe myself picking the Ravens the situation, but I do. The line is Pittsburgh. It's now Pittsburgh -3.5, which is interesting because it opened at 3, and you would think that the Bell injury might have shifted it the other way.
Yeah, well, I think the problem was it was going to go up, and then the Bell injury kind of kept it where it was. And, you know, it's 3, you're going to have to lay a little juice there. You're going to get, like, -120. I'm seeing 3.5s or 3s.
That's a good point. The last question I have about this game for you is, we've seen this Pittsburgh team lose to the Buccaneers, the Saints, and the Jets.
Yeah.
What's to say that that's
through those games at home? Yeah,
you know that team could very well come up again.
I can. I two of the games were at home. I mean, losing to the Bucs at home, losing to the Saints at home. And this was the Steeler team. You know, halfway through the year, I was like, all right, you don't really know what you're. They also lost by 21 at Cleveland, so you don't really know what you're going to get with this Pittsburgh team. But then, kind of down the stretch, they showed that they could at least put a few games together in which they played consistently good football. They won the home game against Kansas City, and they won their home game against Cincinnati, and they went to Atlanta and won. So they strung together a few good games down the stretch. I don't want that to necessarily cloud judgment, but at the same time, at least they kind of settle down now, and they're like, all right, you know, we could at least control what's going on in these games, because I feel like at the beginning of the year they were kind of at the mercy of just NFL game trends, and, you know, one bad play they'd fall into a tailspin. You know, they almost only beat Jacksonville by 8 as well in Jacksonville. So they are a little scary when you look at what they did over the first 8 games of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point, but you can make the same logic I made for Carolina. They ended the year hot, and that should mean something going into the playoffs. So, like I said, you really never know. But, all right, before we get to the Sunday games, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What'll it be, guys? I'll have a Scotch on the Rocks.
I'll have a Samuel Adams.
I'll have a Samuel Jackson.
You know something? I'll have a Samuel Jackson, too.
Me, 3.
3 Samuel Jacksons coming right up.
Good motherfucking choice. Samuel Jackson. Made painstakingly by me. Samuel Jackson. It'll get you drunk. You'll be fucking fat girls in no time. You might even fight a nigga or two. Bitch. How's it taste, motherfucker?
Can you stop yelling at me, please?
No, I can't stop yelling, because that's how I talk. You ain't never seen my movies. Juice, that was a good one. Deep Blue Sea, they ate me. A fucking shark ate me. Drank, bitch. Jurassic Park. Samuel Jackson.
It's my beer. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
All right, well, we hope you enjoyed that quick commercial break. And with that being said, we will get right into the Sunday games. And that starts off with the one game that I am most torn on for the entire weekend, which is funny because I thought that when the game came out, I was pretty much on one side. Now I'm torn. The Colts are hosting the Bengals. The Colts are favored by 3.5 points. You have one side where you could say Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis on the road in the playoffs, they can't get it done. But then you have another side that can say that the Colts just aren't good. They haven't beaten good teams this year, and they've gotten blown out by good teams. They beat up on the bottom feeders of the NFL. Joe, which side are you on?
You know, I it's really hard for me to pick a side. I think I have to just take the 3.5 with Cincinnati just because the Colts are not convincing right now. And I think Cincinnati down the stretch playing the better football, playing the better defense, and they actually have a running game, whereas the Colts, what do they have, one rush yard against the Cowboys in that Week 16
yeah.
match? So I just – can you back an NFL team in the playoffs that literally can't run the ball? I don't know. But I wouldn't touch the game. A side I do like is the under because I don't think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game.
Yeah, it's weird. This is a game that I don't know if I could really tell you what it's going to happen until the game actually starts. This is a game that – I think that if the Bengals can establish Jeremy Hill and establish a run game, this game could be over really quick. I mean, I know Andrew Luck's always got the comebacks in him, but you know, we've seen the Cowboys run all over the Colts, and we've seen the Patriots do it too, and those games weren't even close. And Jeremy Hill has been on a tear lately. You know, he really has been carrying the Bengals team, and he'll have to do so again, especially with A.J. Green not looking likely to play.
There's so many variables going into this game that you don't know. And the fact that the Colts beat the Bengals 27-0 the first time they played. I mean, how do you judge this game? I'm not getting a good feel for it.
No, it's weird because you would think that if the Colts are just they're not gonna be able to really hold a lead because they can't run the ball. But even if
I think people are starting to figure that out too. Yeah. The Cowboys give up 7 points to the Colts. This is the Cowboys defense that most people were saying, even when they were playing well, they were still one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yeah. But at the same time, even if Cincinnati gets a lead and runs the ball, you know, can you really count out Andrew Luck? It works both
ways.
You
saw last year, you can't. They were down.
Yeah.
How much were they down with the Chiefs?
It was. I actually don't remember the exact score, but it was more than 30 points. So you know, which is ridiculous. And I think it was even higher than that, which is ridiculous to even think of. Key that for the Colts is to actually get a pass rush on Andy Dalton because it's kind of been a simple formula over the course of his career. You get pressure on Andy Dalton, he makes mistakes, you win the football game, especially on the road for Dalton. So
yeah, you're 100% right about that because that's exact, and that was last year's game was home against San Diego. That's exactly how San Diego beat him. They put pressure on him, and then he almost like clockwork throws his two picks a game, and all of a sudden, the Cincinnati team that you thought was going to show up, it just can't because Dalton puts them in too big of a hole. You know, one thing
yeah.
I wanted to look at, we didn't in the first games, is at least in depth, is the turnovers and what you could control about NFL turnovers. You know, because a lot of people say, well, you know, teams are just good at taking the ball away. Well, can you actually be good at taking the ball away? And I think that there's two ways of looking at it. There's one, if you're putting pressure on the quarterback, I think that's really the only way you could be proficient at taking the ball away. And if you're just recovering random fumbles, you know, is that going to regress once you get into the postseason? And although it doesn't really apply to this game, I wanted to just point out the last two games we talked about. Arizona is recovering 69% of their own fumbles. So every 69% of the time that they fumble, they get the ball back. And on the flip side, Pittsburgh is only recovering 31% of their own fumbles. So you just wonder how much of that is going to regress in the postseason.
Yeah, and those turnovers, they're game changers. In a one-game setup, they're game changers. They can completely shift the momentum of the contest. One more thing that I wanted to talk about. This is a big game, but it's a very big game for the two coaches involved. If Marvin Lewis loses this game, despite the fact that he's made the last four made the playoffs the last four seasons, he will be 0-6 as in the playoffs as a head coach, and his record over the course of the regular season for Cincinnati, it's not very good. It's right around average. And then on the other side, you've got Chuck Pagano, who, you know, everybody loves Chuck Pagano, you know, with the whole Chuck Strong thing, and you can't take anything away from him. But at the same time, you know, how good is a coach who's constantly feeding Trent Richardson the ball? You know, this seems like a simple game plan for Indianapolis. Blitz Andy Dalton, give the ball to Dan Heron and not Trent Richardson, and you will win this football game. So in my opinion, I just feel like this seems like a simple game plan for the Colts to execute. And if they don't come out doing what they should be doing, I wonder just how high this Colts team can go with Pagano.
Well, you know what's funny? Did the Colts make the wrong call keeping Pagano over Bruce Arians?
They very well might have. And, you know, that's a great question. That's a question that I don't think is being brought up enough.
It probably has a lot to do with the fact that Chuck was sick and you know,
yeah, which I completely understand. I completely respect. But right now, it looks like Arizona may have gotten the better coach out of that duo in Indianapolis. So now we will finally shift to our final game. So a lot of people are saying this is going to be the best game. For me, this is going to be the most stressful game, being a Cowboys fan. But right now, the Cowboys against the Lions. The Cowboys, I believe, the line has bumped down to 7. It was at 7.5. Now it's at 7. And the big story in this game, aside from, of course, all the Tony Romo narratives, is the Cowboys' efficient running game against the Lions' top rush defense. And it's kind of one of those unstoppable force against immovable object. And which side do you think has the advantage there?
Chris, I'm even seeing some 6.5 now, so you got some sharps weighing in on the Detroit side, which I think is the right move, but I don't think you're going to see it go lower than 6.5 because I think that 7-point number is really your key number for the game. I think at 7, I like Detroit just because I think that the game stays close. I think that the Detroit front line is going to be able to at least neutralize the Cowboys enough. I think both of these teams are different than they have been in the past. You know, they've always gotten the bad reputation of being, you know, the team that both teams can't win the big game. Detroit and Dallas the last 5 years, they've always gotten themselves into decent spots and then had a letdown. And now, you know, one of them's got to break through. I just, you know, at this point, I have to trust Tony Romo more than I trust Matthew Stafford. So if I'm going to pick the game straight up, I'm going to have to take Dallas, but I think the game stays close.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think you're right on the neutralization front that, you know, right now the Cowboys offensive line is playing phenomenal. They're playing at the top of their game. But DeMarco Murray has slowed down a little bit. You know, hopefully Scott Linehan can get a little more creative with the runs, you know, incorporate Lance Dunbar in there more, Joseph Randle. But it's going to be tough because of this Lions front 7. But I agree with you that I think this game is going to be won through the air. You know, the Dallas run defense has gotten better in the past few weeks, and Yorick Bell is not blowing away anybody. So I think this is going to come down to if Tony Romo and Dez Bryant can make the plays, or if Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson are the ones who take advantage of the Cowboys secondary. And, you know, it's tough to say because obviously – who's playing better right now? Romo and Dez are absolutely on fire. But at the same time, Stafford and Johnson, you can't count them out. And they have been phenomenal, especially against the Cowboys. They've just laid waste to the Cowboys in recent contests. So it's going to be interesting to see which side kind of gets the edge in there and if that is ultimately the factor in that game. And then, of course, you've got another interesting head coach battle. Jim Caldwell versus Jason Garrett, two guys who are not going to win the Coach of the Year award, but they should be considered at least in the as one of the two of the finalists. Do you think that who do you think is the better like which one of these guys do you think is a good NFL coach, or if you think either of them are good NFL coaches?
I think Garrett's the better coach. I don't know if either of them is a top tier coach, but we'll have to see over time. But I don't like Jim Caldwell. But let's just go back to Romo right now. Is the debate over? He's a top three quarterback at least this year in the NFL. I mean, let's just stop the madness.
So you're saying that Tony Romo is a top three right now?
Tony Romo is the third best quarterback in the NFL
after Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, it's not a question.
I would be hard-pressed to disagree with you, and I'm trying to keep my bias aside, but if you look at the way that Andrew Luck has been playing, Peyton Manning has been playing, Philip Rivers has been playing, they have not been playing well, and you've got Romo on a bad back, completely great throws. I think the biggest change in Romo from beginning of season to end of season, in the beginning of the season, because of his back, he couldn't make those deep throws. Now he's making them with great, great accuracy and just making the job easier.
And that's something that Tom Brady can't even do anymore. Brady is struggling on the deep throws now.
Yeah, he's making the job so much easier for Dez, a guy who's playing out of his mind and doesn't need the job to be made easier for him. You know, you can say right now that Dez Bryant is a top three receiver in the NFL. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if Detroit can stop that combo. And if anyone can stop that combo, you know, I read an article going back to Romo of the top they ranked the quarterbacks in the playoffs, right? Guess what number Romo was.
When was this?
I read it yesterday. It was an article of the quarterbacks in the playoffs.
He was probably he's probably not given enough credit. They would probably put Manning and Luck over him. So what, five?
He was seven.
Seven.
Russell Wilson was above him.
And oh yeah, forgot about
someone
that.
Else might have been above him too. I can't remember. Luck was above him. Manning was above him. Rodgers, Brady, Wilson, and one other quarterback. Oh, Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger.
I mean, maybe that's using track record as over just how they're playing. I mean, if you're talking better resume, of course those guys are better than him.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about who you'd rather have quarterbacking your game this weekend, I would only take two other guys over him.
Yeah, which is what I think the article was saying, and which I think was kind of silly. And if you're saying that, you're saying that right now the best quarterback that's playing this weekend is Tony Romo. And you might be right, but he's playing against probably the best defense playing this weekend. So it'll be interesting
Chris,
to see.
Chris, let me give you one quick stat. Third worst – a bottom three road team in points per game this season, the Detroit Lions, averaging 14.7 points per game on the road.
There you go. They couldn't do anything against the Bears and Jimmy Clausen, really. So, but, you know, it all comes back to Romo. And, you know, we can say Romo's not getting the credit he deserves, but he's not going to get it until he wins these playoff games. So this is a big game for him, and it might be bigger for him than any other quarterback playing this weekend. So
yeah,
with all that being said, that will indeed do it for the brunch. We're very happy to be here on H4TV and broadcasting the brunch to you live. And we're looking forward to future episodes here as well as the games coming in just a few hours. So everybody sit back, relax, get a beer, hop on the couch, and enjoy Wild Card Weekend.
Enjoy, everyone. Have a good week. We'll see you again soon.